Singapore has made its mark on France in the past few months with a culture festival to bring French people closer to traditions they probably little know. The city-state in Southeast Asia is a young country founded under the British Empire in 1819. In the past few years, it showcased what Singapore itself has labelled its bling culture. Well, wearing a black and white updated no-costume suit slash robe with a few sparkles tracking the seams, Shakespeare's King Lear slash the Old Man is incarnated in Onken Seng's Lear Dreaming by Japanese actor Naohiko Umewaka, who performs the ultimate stage fall act in Japanese stage tradition. Ong has delved deep into the Lear story and character over his career. He worked on an Asian multicultural version of William Shakespeare's play King Lear in 1997. His Lear Dreaming first staged in 2012. It's very loosely based on Shakespeare's, taking the misery of the old king as its beginning, middle and end. It's concise in all respects. Minimum number of players, simple language, percussion a key element with traditional Indonesian gamelan and electronic music. The pipa string instrument is often centre stage. It's plucked by Zhang Yin, who in Mandarin Chinese plays the sole wicked Lyrian daughter in this production. The mother, who could be Lear's mother actually in this dream effect where characters appear and disappear as if uninvited, is sung in Korean by Kang Kwon-sun, whose voice is transporting, tragic and otherworldly. After the show, at the Théâtre de la Ville Abbesse, I met director Ong, who told me how he'd been inspired by current affairs and history in the part of Asia where he lives for this play.
I think that as I've grown older, I've become more compassionate to the king. You know, in 1997, when I first directed Lear, it was about Lear, the oppressor, and the young generation killing the father in Asia. And today, in 2015, the production is more about the human feelings of this old man and maybe his vulnerabilities, his loneliness, this loneliness of a king, loneliness that in the end he's still a human being.
Has Asia changed in the same way? Has your country, Singapore?
I think so. I mean, very recently, Mr. Lee Kuan Yew, who created Singapore, who built up Singapore, he passed away in March. But of course, you know, this play was first presented in 2012, so it predates his demise. And I think that in many ways, it takes on quite a Buddhistic feeling towards kings and rulers and empires that come and go.
Everything comes and goes.
Yes, I think that what is very interesting about the politics in Asia is that it is finally beginning to shift. My work is primarily about the unresolved traumas of World War II and of Asia in general. And I think that we see that after World War II, there was the rise of the nation. And in a way, I think that maybe the period of nation building and after the nation, what happens, you know, and Europe is beyond that perhaps at this point. But in Asia, most of the nations are just beginning to realize the limits of the nation, and I think that this piece is really talking a bit about that, that after the war, after the colonization, then the nation building happened, and now perhaps the nation is at its frontier now.
What effect does that actually have on theatre?
Theatre has been through a lot of change in that, for example, in Singapore, there are very few traditional arts left. You know, it's really an urban city. And I'm dealing with that as a theatre maker, that how do I actually make a tradition where there is no tradition in a way. So in the arts, I think we've had to deal with a kind of creating from scratch, constructing something. And in a sense, it shows that art is very, very unnatural. It's very much a construction. just like a city-state in that sense. And I think that this looking for the art which is organic and which is harmonious is really something which, for me as a Singaporean, it's very far away because everything is hard and constructed in Singapore.
You mix different cultures as well. That's something very Singaporean, but not necessarily Japanese, Korean, Chinese and Indonesian.
Yes, I think that the piece, which is, for me, it bears a kind of Singaporean trademark, or the place where I come from, you know, it bears my identity in a way as an artist, because I come from a country where many cultures live together and mixing is very easy. You just see that terribly in the cuisine. The cuisine is wonderful and terribly mixed. And this idea of hybridity, which for me is very natural, is not so natural in monocultural cultures like Japan, perhaps, and like Korea. And I think that that's what makes the production so powerful for me, to bring these cultures in juxtaposition with each other, and these wonderful artists who are all individuals who have grown up in their art, you know, because some of them I've known since the 90s.
Music is extremely important. How do you bring all the different musical sounds together, in fact?
We try to put all these kind of specialized music from different cultures with a very specific identity, like Korean Buddhistic singing or Korean court singing. But we embed it in electronic music. And that electronic music then is able to transcend specific cultures. And in that sense, I think that's also about the urban mix. The city beat, in a way, comes in to blend the different very specific monolith sorts of culture, which is coming from Korea or gamelan, which is so Indonesian. We don't want it to just fuse into a kind of a global soup. We want to have the specifics of this. When you see a kimono, it is a kimono, but at the same time it is embedded in some kind of design culture which goes beyond the tradition. So for me, a lot of my work is responding to also contemporary design and how contemporary design responds to these very specific cultural elements like the kimono or like lacquer, for example. How does lacquer become contemporary in design?
And the lighting plays a very particular role. It's very clear cut. Mm-hmm. And even cuts through the characters at some point.
Yeah, the light is very crystalline, and we try to make a kind of that in this empty space you see a kingdom rise and fall and collapse, and you see all these human emotions and so many murders, and you know, it's really about the theatrical illusion happening in an empty space. And Peter Brook years ago talked about this empty space, but what makes it of the now rather than of the 60s is that this empty space is now very, very sculpted in light, and the light sculptures re-looks at the 60s empty space, for example. So I think that for me, light is a way of seeing. I mean, a lot of the piece is about blinding and being blind, trusting somebody that you should not have and being betrayed by that person. A lot of the light is very piercing. We use lasers to actually play with the visible and invisible, because the laser also is not really visible unless it hits the surface. And I think this kind of idea we work with a lot. It's kind of working on a conceptual level to juxtapose the traditions as well as the contemporary beat.
The text is your own?
The text was culled from a lot of different places. You know, I mean, we used primarily a text which was written by a Japanese female playwright, and she was interested in looking at the role of the woman and the daughter killing her father. So that, for me, is a very strong element.
Again, playing with the different languages.
I had in my team several composers, so they actually composed the lyrics as well as the melodies. It became very metaphorical, so about serpents entwining, you know, when the betrayal happens. And these were all coming directly from the artist. So we collaborated in a way which was actually without any hierarchies and kind of trying to bring a very concise way of telling this big story of Lear and Shakespeare and the rise and fall of Asian empires and the modern or contemporary Asia.
That's Ong Ken Sen, director of Lear Dreaming, which was part of the Singapore in France Festival this year. He's also director of the Singapore International Arts Festival in Singapore from the 6th of August to the 19th of September 2015. And I'm Roslyn Hyams in Paris with Arts in France on Radio France International. And until next time, from me, goodbye.